You read here in verse 5 that King David sent and fetched him, that is, Mephibosheth. You have presented to us something of the nature of King David. He was a warrior king, but he was a man who had a great consideration and a great compassion for other people, especially those who were in need. And just as David fetched Mephibosheth, he took him from a place called Lodebar. And the name of that place, Lodebar, means a place where there is no pasture, a place of barrenness and emptiness. And he brought him to his home. It is a great picture of what the Lord can do for you tonight. If you do not know the Savior, he'll come to you in your barrenness. And as you travel in this barren world, and he will bring you into his presence in salvation, and he's promised that he will meet your every need. I don't know if everyone here has read about Mephibosheth before, but Mephibosheth had nothing to offer the army or the palace or anything to offer to David that David would not have had in abundance. Mephibosheth comes from a very dark background. His grandfather was Saul, who reigned very badly and let people down and had always a great focus in his own heart upon himself. And he failed the people. And not only was he from a dark background and he was a man who had nothing to offer, he would not have expected, by any stretch of his imagination, the kindness that David showed to him. And in this whole episode before us, where David has inquired regarding Saul's house, he's heard about Mephibosheth and he sent for him, we see here that in verse 5 it was the king's call, because no one else had the authority to do what he did, to do such a thing as to fetch some man living like a vagabond and bring him into the king's presence. There was also a message of care here. I've already intimated that David was a man with a loving and a pastor's heart. The highest in the land, reaching down to one of the lowest anywhere to be found, and from the least deserving family line on a human level. Concern and compassion marked David's actions. There was no animosity. Whenever he came face to face with Mephibosheth, there was no casting up of "but your granda." He simply looked upon Mephibosheth as a man who was in physical need. He was lame on his feet, and therefore that would have left him in a position where he had even less to offer than anyone else. And David took him. And in this passage we read together tonight, he took him right in. And he emphasizes in this chapter the importance of Mephibosheth being at his table. And that is what I want to look at tonight. For as we see in verses 10, 11, and 13, Mephibosheth at David's table, we have pictured for us what the Lord Jesus Christ offers to every sinner who will come to him, who will obey the call of the gospel, who will repent of and leave their sin. And just as Mephibosheth had to get up and leave Lodebar, if men and women tonight will get up and leave their sin, there's a chair at the table for you. And that is the title tonight. A chair at the table for you. I want you to notice, first of all, regarding this table, whenever David fetched Mephibosheth and brought him to the table, he was placed in a position of sufficiency. Look at verse 10. It says, "But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." This was something that Mephibosheth would never have experienced before, a kindness that he had never known, put into a position that was enjoyed by David and those who were closest to him. And in Oriental lands, it was always a very special thing and a mark of favor to be brought to eat with the king. Over there in 1 Kings and chapter 2 and verse 7, David is coming near the end of his days now, and again he's showing kindness. Verse 7, "But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." He's remembering kindness, and he wants kindness now to be shown. But remember, this is King David we're asking for, and for those who were spoken of there in 1 Kings 2, it was a very special thing to be invited along to sit at the king's table, because there, if famine came, or if hostilities arose and the situation was such that there was a shortage of food, well, when you were at the king's table, you would be the last one to go hungry. There would be no lack of supply for him. There's no mention of cost. It would all be given to him if he would take it. And folks, what a picture we have of what the Lord offers to men and women who are in their sin tonight. If they will come to him, he will take them out of their situation of being, spiritually speaking, poverty stricken. And he will place them into the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a slave of sin, one who perhaps has served sin for many years, he will set them free from that. But he'll do more than that. He will put them in a place of sufficiency. Now, how do I know that? Tonight, you may say, if you're a sinner, if I turn from my sin and come to the Lord Jesus, how do I know that he will put me in a position of sufficiency? Well, over there in the book of Romans, and chapter 8, and verse 17. Here's what the Bible says concerning those who have come to the Lord. Verse 16 shows that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And that is what God does for unsaved men and women when he comes along to them. And he knows about them in their position where they have nothing to offer. And just as Mephibosheth could not walk well because of the lameness, men and women are unable to stand because they're fallen in their sin. And he comes along and he lifts them up out of their sin, and in mercy he places them into a position of sufficiency. That's what he's done for every one of us who are saved. Maybe able to think of things that we would like, but the Lord has promised to meet all of our need. And in doing that, he places us in a position of sufficiency. And Christian, I want to encourage you tonight, and if you're not a saved person, I want you to hear this, that if you have come to the Lord, Christian, that you will never know what it is. Whatever valleys you have to go through in your life, whatever times you may look in the world and think, well, the world is withholding its riches from me. Whatever times like that you have to experience, you will never know what it is to be empty again, ever again, because you have Christ. And you have been placed in a position of plenty. Over there, if you would look with me, please, in the Song of Solomon, that book where there is a lovely picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. It says there in Song of Solomon, this is the testimony of one who really knows the Lord. It says there, and this is the church speaking concerning Christ. It says, as the apple tree, this is Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. His fruit was sweet to my taste, or if you look at the margin there, it says, to my palate. And here is the church proving, witnessing, and testifying to the fact that she has found sufficiency in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many people tonight, and we set before them Christ the best we can, and we try to uplift him as a willing and an able Savior, and we show them that if they come to him, they will be eternally safe in him. But men prefer their sin, and they want to hold on to the world and its transient pleasures. But remember here that it was David that fetched him. David spoke to those who were under him to go and get him. And God deals with the hearts of men and women. Yes, he gives mere instruments like me the responsibility to preach the word. But dear sinner, tonight, I wonder, have you ever felt the Lord speaking to your heart? Not because of me, that's for sure, but because of his mercy and his compassion and his care. If you look there again in Song of Solomon, it reads on in verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. The sign or the banner is love. The setting of the banner, well, it's over me. That is protection and direction for those who have come to him. But it also mentions there the banqueting house. And again, if you look at your margin, you will see that where it says banqueting house, it literally means house of wine. Now, that is not in any way referring to some sort of drunken stupor, but rather it is symbolic of the gospel and the great blessings that it brings to men and women who come to him. It forcibly reminds us of the prodigal and how he had nothing left to, nothing to offer at all. And yet he came back, and the father didn't give him beans on toast. He ordered that the fatted calf would be killed. He would be feasting on the very best. And here we have Mephibosheth. He's an outsider. He's from a very dark, sinister background. He's not seeking after David, but David's seeking him. And in Northern Ireland tonight, as the gospel is preached, men will deliver similar messages that Jesus is still seeking the sinner. And he's taking the initiative to go after them. Not because they deserve that, but because they need that. Because he has a heart of love. And for those of us who have trusted the Lord and been saved, we are placed in a position of sufficiency. I want to say just now, unsaved, there's a chair at the table for you, if you will come. But it's not just a position of sufficiency. If you look at verse 11 here in the chapter we read together, you will see that it is a position of elevation. For David again mentions the table. He says, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. You're not going to do better than that, really. As far as an offer was concerned, I'm sure Mephibosheth in his miserable experience had known very little of real comfort and of being treated in the way that David was now offering to treat him. Perhaps because of his lameness, he was living in perpetual misery. And now David says to him, he says he's going to be sitting at my table as one of my sons. We speak sometimes in preaching about adoption, about men and women who have nothing to offer the Lord, and they've been brought to the end of themselves by conviction from the Holy Spirit. And then when they come as sinners, the Lord never turns them away. And when he saves us, he adopts us into the family and fold of God. One of my favorite verses, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Billy Bray was born in England. And it is said of Billy Bray that he was notorious for fighting. And he was known by everyone as a drunkard who gave society nothing but trouble. And he brought pain and disappointment to his friends as well. And it is said concerning Billy Bray that as ungodly a man he was as ever walked the streets of England. But Billy Bray got gloriously saved. And he became a preacher, and the Lord in his providence used Billy Bray in preaching in the salvation of thousands. Some people say Billy Bray won 1 million to the Lord. Who knows? Anyway, one of his favorite sayings was this. Whenever he was reflecting upon what the Lord had done for him, and how he'd been brought into God's family, he said, I am the son of a king. I am the son of a king. Not treated as an alien or a stranger because of how it had been with him in his unconverted days. But when he was brought in, he was sitting at the king's table. An unsaved person, again, we want to say to you tonight, as we consider Mephibosheth here, he was in a position of sufficiency. But he was also in a position of elevation. And that is where you will be tonight. However far down you've gone. And there are so many people that we fear that were brought up in godly homes. And it seems that all that they heard in their younger day and all the influence that came their way, it was all of no avail because they've made shipwreck of everything. And in every relationship that they're involved in, it's a disaster. And they're right down there as far as their position is concerned. Well, it's that kind of person that the Lord Jesus came to save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And just as David was seeking for Mephibosheth, sinner, wherever you are and however bad it is, the Lord is seeking for you. We're speaking here about something that is real, that will change your life now and change your eternity. Because he will not only make you a new creature in Christ, he will take you and place you at the table in a position of sufficiency. And in a position of elevation, you'll be a son or you'll be a daughter. Just as we read there in verse 11 concerning Mephibosheth, that he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. There's room at the table. There's a chair at the table for you. I repeat it, if you will come. But I have a third and final point here. Whenever David showed this kindness to Mephibosheth and brought him to his home. Not only did he put him in a position of sufficiency and in a position of elevation, but he put him in a position of security. Look at verse 13. It says, "For he did eat continually at the Lord, the king's table." If the honour of being at the king's table was to be withdrawn at this time in their experience, David would have to be dealt with first. Someone must first remove the king who granted to this man, Mephibosheth, this position. And if you come to Christ tonight, before you can ever lose that salvation, someone will have to remove Christ. And that will never be done. We quoted earlier on in our prayer, I believe, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation." I wonder, are you ready for that second coming? Don't forget, there's a chair at the table for you. Gypsy Smith was another man who was well known in preaching. The Lord used him. And he said he could never understand why the Lord would save him. He used to ask people, and he used to say, "Can you tell me how Jesus came to an old gypsy tent? How he opened my eyes? How he made me to know he was to be my Savior? I couldn't write my name." Remember what we said earlier on. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Gypsy Smith was a trophy of grace. I mentioned another individual who found a seat at the table for him. He was called the Thief of Halberstam. His name was George Mueller. Some of you have heard of him. George Mueller was known to all of his family circle as a boy who broke his mother's heart. And even when she was dying, you think of this now, when George Mueller's mother was dying, he was out playing cards in a card school and gambling. He roamed the streets, very often under the influence of alcohol. And as a very young man, still in his teens, he found his way as a vagabond into prison. Many, many years went by, and it is said concerning a funeral procession in England that there were thousands lying in the streets. The flags were flown at half-mast, as would happen when royalty passes away. And there were many people who, along the road, along the street, who were shedding tears. And it was the funeral service of George Mueller, the Thief of Halberstadt. Because George Mueller had come into contact with the one we're talking about tonight. He had come into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had come as a sinner to him, and he did a work that would seem at home and fitly be placed in the Acts of the Apostles. Such was the work that he did for the Lord. And he was just a thief of Halberstadt. But men and women, he found a position of security in Christ. I wonder, do these things appeal to you tonight? As I say to you again, that there is a chair at the table for you. It is a chair that will assure you of sufficiency, will assure you of elevation being brought into the family and fold of God, and assures you of security. Security not just for time, but for all eternity. I wonder tonight, are you interested in the king's table? Over here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Lord is speaking here through his servant, and the message is to those who are saved, and it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And then it says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Unsaved person, this salvation we talk about, it's not a temporal thing. But rather it reminds us of the security that Mephibosheth found at David's table. And it presses home tonight to you what you can find if you will come and trust the Lord. This is the position offered to you this evening. What has sin done for you? How has sin rewarded you in any way that you would say even is positive? But rather, sin, as the years go by, demands more and more from you. Whereas if you come to Christ, He will bear everything to you. But you must come. Finish tonight by repeating the title again. There's a chair at the table for you. And may you come tonight to the King's table.